Welcome to another English episode. Välkommen till en fantasystund. In episode 35, I read from the book The Fabulous Destiny of Cuthuria One, and I'm going to continue where I left off. I've been sick for a few weeks now with a nasty cough, so I haven't really released any episodes. So, my voice is still a little bit low and a little bit cough left, but I think we should be fine. So, let's continue from The Fabulous Destiny of Cuthuria One, written by Elias L.E. Jenvald. At that point, it all sounded absurd, but little did he know that he would do that very thing only a few years later. At that point, he had understood that his parents' training had succeeded. He had been prepared to travel the world, helping those who needed it. The 23-year-old Cuthuria One found himself thinking back to that time, sitting upstairs in his parents' house. Opposite him sat his friend Duran, a Nord playing Calm, the Raging Postman, with him. A card game they had learned during their stays in the human capital of Badlon. Looking on were the Aquarian Fefthrir and Yuguri of the Wood Elves. This little team of adventurers had slowly become his family during his 12 years adventuring. Duran and Fethrir he had known almost all of those years, while he had found Yuguri to be his intellectual equal during the 3 years he travelled with them. In Guthurion's opinion, that is. Guthurion looked at the cards in front of him, realizing that he had the opening he had waited for. He slowly put down the winning card on the table as the Nord turned his bearded smile into a face of disbelief. Duran grabbed the end of the rough dark oak table and threw it up in the air, making it spin like an ice skater in a tumble dryer. Calm, the Raging Postman was not his kind of game. Games in general were not really his kind of games, unless it was the game of hitting something very hard with a hammer, or hitting something far away very hard with a flying hammer, or cooking. He could definitely hit someone with his delicious cooking as well. Fethrir and Yuguri were of course used to the fact that his hot-headed Nord got out of control and started to throw things into the air, this being the single reason for him handling the plasma grenades. Well, that and the fact that if you throw it in the wrong way, the grenade will stick on yourself and go boom, before you had the chance to throw it yourself on top of someone you really dislike. His constant closeness to rage might even be an asset from time to time, but it was unsettling at other times. He did not even try to quell his rage, almost as if he thought it a perfectly normal response. At least Cuthuria One tried to keep himself from boiling over with anger, even if he still failed pretty often. Yuguri mostly found ways to get his anger out when people were not looking. The only exception was Fethrir, the outcast of the strict people of Poseidopolis, known as the Aquarians. She had never lost her temper. She was as cool as ice cream frozen in a block of ice, on a glacier, on the highest tops of the Shoifun Mountains in the northern parts of Huaxi. This really came in handy when dealing with some old geezers wanting too much for a pack of fish crackers, but it made her something of an enigma to the rest of the group. Now, lying with its legs up in the air, the dark oak table stared to wonder what in the name of way too many gods for me to remember. Just kidding, 16. Is going on. This, of course, you will think is stupid because of the simple fact that a table cannot think. Well, this is my story, and it make little sense much of the time, and if that bothers you, that is just too bad, because there's going to be a lot of things in this story that you will not understand. And that, too, is something I am not responsible for. As Duran started to calm down in the somehow smaller than he remembered house of Cuthuria One's parents, laying on a hill overlooking Hugger Village, an orc slowly opened the door to the room. "So, what's going on here?" he asked as all five of them turned their eyes towards the door. Well, maybe just four, the table really had no eyes to talk about. And sad as that might be, he did all right.
I just happened to win at cards again, and Durin got angry," said Guthuri one, flipping the table right again.
"I don't get why you're even playing against someone you know you'll win against. Wouldn't any of the other two make for a much more interesting match?"
Wagthor, the man who had fathered Guthuri one, was now an old orc. His now red-brown-green skin starting to show signs of aging more than an orc usually does. The man that he had trained Guthuri one only 13 years ago was now more devoted to help one specific village and one home in particular, the home of his lovely wife, Etheria. She was at the moment out at the small gathering of water outside their village, cleaning the group's clothes, as many years of adventuring often made them dirty and torn, among other things.
"I think Guthuram would rather play an opponent he know he'll defeat, rather than one against which he would definitely lose," said Juguri, and shot a smile at Guthuram.
Durin burst out laughing as the elf's remark. Guthuram looked slightly less amused.
"I almost had you last time, Juguri. You won't be long now," he retorted, sat down on his chair again, folding his arms.
"Sure, you keep telling yourself that," said Juguri, his smile widening slightly for a second.
"You got lucky last time. You saw that, right, Fathrir?"
Guthuri one shot a look over at his friends.
"I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention."
Her face seemed not to move much as she spoke. Guthuri one looked increasingly agitated. Both Juguri and Vukthor joined in on Durin's laughing, as Guthuri one finally did as well.
When Guthuri one decided he wanted to set out into the world and fight for the downtrodden, as his father had done before, Vagthor had told him that he first needed to train. He taught him things like shave your head so it won't get in the way, and do not date rocks, both advices Guthuri one completely ignored for the most part and had to pay for in some respect. 12 years later, head now shaven, he came home with a new set of friends and many experiences richer. Here he had stayed this last year, as they pondered where they would adventure next. But little did Guthuri one know that soon adventure would be coming to him, and this time he would have to do it for the sake of the world.
Well, his world, at least. Do not worry, listener. You are safe. Well, relatively. There was a shrill sound that pierced through the walls of the house, like someone magnified the sound of a hammer breaking a brittle sword in two. Juguri was fast on his feet and down the stairs, gracefully dodging some sort of comically placed ball before finding himself outside. As the others made their way down, Durin gracefully, not dodging some sort of comically placed ball, Juguri shouted for them to hurry.
"What is happening?" pondered Guthuri one, as he saw the thick smoke rise from behind the trees.
The others joined, as Guthuri one's mother came back from the washing.
"What's going on?"
she shouted at them, hurrying with a basket of clothes in front of her. A sudden movement in the bushes next to Guthuri one's mother made it clear that they were not alone. As they all made the effort to run towards it, a savage creature jumped out. It had the head of a wolverine, but was clad in black armor with a red symbol on its chest. A small tail could be glimpsed behind it. It made a roar and raised its sword high to attack,
but did not have the time to finish his swing, as his blood fell on the ground, soon to be joined by his halves, both of them. The blade of Vugtor dripped as his wielded got up from the ground and faced Githurion, only to fall down again.
"Be careful,"
implored Jiguri, and helped the old hero up from the ground.
"What are these creatures?"
asked Fethrir and looked at both halves of the sigil on its chest. It seemed to depict the head of an elk from the front, as if it was to charge at you. Not that it would, that would just be ridiculous.
"I have never seen such a creature before," cautioned Jiguri, slowly approaching it. "I know of creatures with features like sheep, elephants, and black panthers, but not this."
"It can't be." Vugtor backed away slightly. "I have heard stories of creatures more beast than man, somehow a product of the fall of the gods," said Vugtor, getting himself up onto his feet again. "But I would never think they still existed."
"So it is what, like a beast man?" asked Durin, his massive two-handed hammer still outstretched in front of him. "Vigilant is definitely a word. Terrified is another."
"So they are of legends?"
asked Jiguri, his eyes darting in every direction.
"So they are, and like legends, they will die."
Vugtor walked up to his son. "I want you to go down there and send them beastmen into the pits of the underworld," he said, placing his blade in Githurion's hands. He held the sword of Vugtor in front of him, spinning it to inspect both edge and surface. It stretched over 5 feet long, thin as a blade that was very thin, but broad and heavy. In the blank surface, he could see the reflection of his handsome face with the black smoke in the background. He saw it and turned to his father.
"I will not make you disappointed," he said, as his mother carried his father into the house.
"Just be careful. The blade will easily go through flesh, but struggles with iron and heavier armor," he said, and nodded to Githurion and his companions to leave. They, in an instant, began to run down the hill towards the village. Durin put his horn to his mouth and blew hard, a battle cry to scare any enemy. The wind in their long hair felt somewhat refreshing for Jiguri, Fethrir, and Durin. A thought is that they felt like they had to compensate for Githurion's lack of hair by having these enormous hairdos. Fethrir's light blue hair, matching her deep blue skin, went down to her lower back, but was usually tied up in a tail or the like. Durin's massive locks would probably reach even further, but his hair was so messy that it was no use trying to straighten it out. With his large beard, it mostly just looked like a big red mane all around his pale face, or a flock of lobsters. Jiguri had, on the other hand, wavy black hair matching his dark skin, tied in a low tail at the back. But you rarely saw much of it, as Jiguri almost always carried a hood. Githurion barely thought anything of it, thinking it probably had something to do with the fact that he was a wood elf. They had met Jiguri on the streets of Badlon, running from people who seemed to target him simply because of him belonging to the secluded race. Of course, there was more to his hood than that, but why spoil the mystery? What they saw as they arrived at the village was nothing less than a massacre. Orc and beastmen fought with all their might, making the streets full of beheaded bodies and blood, dripping of the edges of the wooden streets and into the swamp on which it was built.
"Split up and take them down. Help the people,"
said Githurion, as he and the others threw themselves onto the nearest beastmen and started fighting their way through the city. As this is Guthuriwan's story, we will follow only him. For the others, I care not. Okay, maybe I care a little, but this book is already way too long, so why pad it out more than just to describe more ways for a beastman to lose limbs? As his father had told him, there was a lot of finesse to using the sword of Vugthor. You had to be careful not to hit any hard parts, as the frailty of the blade might cause it to snap. It was a skill that Vugthor had trained in for decades, mastering the feints and control it took. Guthuriwan had not. It was over quicker than it had begun. The blade broke in oh so many a few pieces as it clashed with the thick iron mazes of the beastmen. Guthuriwan could do nothing about it but to fight with his fists. He was still able to knock most of them down. He was, after all, a very strong orc, and had many years of experience in improvising. He picked up a mace as the beastmen fell. As he took down two more, he stopped for a while to envelope the skills of his father's sword into a large piece of cloth. "I'll pay for this later," he thought, as a lump formed in his stomach. "Later." He made his way through the streets, helping the orcs that needed help, saving those who needed saving. He lost count of the skulls he cracked as he managed to make his way to the one he assumed was the leader. He assumed this mostly because he looked weak and was very skinny, wearing fancy clothes and bearing the likeness of a fox. Leaders were often that, different. As Guthuriwan hurried towards him, he drew a cylindrical metal bar with some sort of wooden handle from his belt. Guthuriwan took his mace and hurled it towards the fox-like beastman. The mace, thinking that she loved to be used to hit a beastman in the face, she who had been used to beat so many, making her surface a little bumpy, flew towards the beastman. She finally got her revenge, but not before a shrill sound came from the cylinder and something was thrown from it at a high speed towards Guthuriwan. The metal pebble hit his arm and went straight through, before its deliverer hit the ground from a mace in the face. Guthuriwan began to walk towards his attacker, his arm hurting and bleeding. The mace had done a satisfactory job crushing the beastman's cranium. Guthuriwan took up the beastman's metal bar, kneeling at the attacker's dead body. "What are these creatures?" he thought, even though he had gotten at least half an answer from his father. A sudden voice from behind made him aware that someone was behind him. He was smart, that Guthuriwan. "Guthuriwan, I am glad you noticed the attack on the village." As Guthuriwan turned around, he found himself facing the orc boss, Kanak, the Might Be Mighty. He was large, even for an orc. His many black braids tied up in a bun at the back of his head, his otherwise light brown skin with hints of green had been blotted with the blood of his enemies, as usual. His wooden cudgel mimicked the color, his chest laid bare, revealing a well-trained upper body with more scars than Guthuriwan dared to count. From his large leather and iron belt hung large and small strips of cloth and leather, covering the lower part of his body. His face, also scarred, was as stern as an orcot, a square face with a large forehead and a protruding jaw, due to a pair of small tusks shooting out from his mouth. "Have there been many casualties from where you came?" he said and pointed back to where Guthuriwan had arrived.
"Too many," started Guthuriwan and shook his head. "What happened to our defenses?"
"They came from the south, and in force. I have never seen anything move like they did. They leaped up and out guard towers, using the trees to avoid getting stuck in the small paths in the swamp."
"Someone has to pay for this,"
growled Guthuriwans, clutched the metal bar he had picked up from the beastmen in his hand.
By the destroyed, they will.
He looked up towards the clear sky in sorrow, the back at Guthuriwan.
I need you to make sure that there are no stragglers. Make sure we have got all these bastards. And when you are done, come to see me at the hut.
Yes, boss,
answered Guthuriwan quickly and started to make his way through the streets of Hugur village. The other warriors and Guthuriwan's companions seemed to have taken care of the other beastmen as the streets were quiet.
Blood had started to ooze into the black swamp, coloring it a sickly color. They were, together with the townsfolk who had survived the attack, trying to put out the fires who had been caused, partly by the torches of the beastmen, and partly by one or two misdirected plasma grenades from Duran. As Guthuriwan came to the large plaza, built out of crooked wooden boards, he met up with the rest of the gang. Duran was carrying his large hammer over his shoulder, the head colored red. It had a solid metal head, and in style recognizable from the battle hammers of the Nords, with a long steel handle. It was clearly made to be handled with two hands, reaching around 4 feet, though Duran did not always have to do that. The sides of Jaguri's robe were splattered with the blood, dripping the wavy daggers he had hanging from the side. A crossbow hung at his back, made from the dark wood native to the woodlands. The crossbow had a small compartment underneath it that automatically loaded a new bolt into it when it was fired. Fethrir was walking behind Durin and Jaguri, dragging a screaming and kicking beastman. She was grasping her longsword in the other hand, hastily cleaned, with strains of blood throughout it. Guthuriwan looked at them and smiled. This was often a rare sight among the orc, as they did not smile that often. The reason for this was, of course, that they were very ugly, and smiling made them, if possible, even uglier. You see, an orc has a very uneven face, and when they smile, their faces kind of mushes together, forming some kind of doughy thing that is too ugly to even mention. That is one of the reasons I will not. But as Guthuriwan has an even face, like an elf, it is not all that bad. His smile is actually kind of charming, showing his sparkling white teeth and making dimples show on his cheeks. Fethrir threw the beastman towards Guthuriwan, making him hit the ground with a big bang. He started to crawl away as a bolt from Jaguri went through his leather armor and nailed him to the plaza floor. He lay screaming on his belly when Guthuriwan pulled him up, threw the bolt, and laid him on his back. He was wearing on his armor the same large red elk as all the others, a sign making Guthuriwan feel almost fearful for some reason.
"Who sent you?"
asked Fethrir, bending over the injured beastman, who was now laughing, making blood come out of his mouth. He looked at Fethrir for a while, still laughing.
"Aul nabdu ord efl,"
he said, his voice almost indistinct from the animal he resembled. He started to twitch in violent spasms, and then, as a man that had formerly been dying, he died. Guthuriwan stood up and looked at the others. Something was bothering him, but he could not understand what. He turned to Fethrir, who had turned away from the beastman.
"Did you understand anything of what he said?"
he asked as Duran picked up the body and walked to the edge of the plaza and dropped him into the swamp. Fethrir merely shook her head.
"No, but I think I heard a name. Ifl,"
Jaguri said, as Durin came back. Guthuriwan looked at Jaguri.
"Who is Ifl?"
he asked. There was no immediate response. Guthuriwan looked at Jaguri for a while.
"I don't know. I've heard it before, but I can't seem to remember,"
he said and looked at them again. The others looked at each other, and then they looked at Juguri. Then a bird looked at them before remembering to look straight to avoid a pole. I guess that some frogs and swamp fishes right now looked at the sinking, or maybe stinking, but probably both, body of an impaled beastman. The beastman did not look at anything, because he's dead, obviously. It was a normal day in the life of Gunnar the Seagull. He was just flying around in his own thoughts, with the wind in his pearly white feathers as he soared through the blue skies of Varon. Not much had happened since he had been woken up by a young woodpecker brat's pecking rudely on his front door. Gunnar had got mad and shouted at them. After a while, they came back to apologize. They had made Gunnar a truly delicious seed and fish pie that they all enjoyed together with one of Gunnar's famous stockpiled blueberry lemonades and a newly opened can of lard. This had made Gunnar very happy this day. What he did not know was that the day would not get much more interesting then. As he swooped down towards Fugger village, some guys were staring at a hooded guy. Gunnar, too scared, being a little too easily manipulated by peer pressure, but looked away as he noticed that he was on his way to crash into a large wooden pole thing. He barely avoided it, as he looked back at the people standing behind him. They were now starting to walk towards a path situated at the right of the large plaza. What strange people, just standing around and then walking, Gunnar thought. But little did he know that it would be the last thought he would think all day as he failed to see the next pole coming at him. Clonk is a funny sound. And that was the first chapter in The Fabulous Destiny of Gothuriwan, written by Elias L.E. Jenvald, or Elias, or however you want to say it. His Instagram is Author Leyenvald, and the link is in the description. Hopefully you enjoyed this as much as I did, even though maybe there's some pronunciation issues here and there, but, you know, English is my second language. Thank you so much for listening. If you want me to read something that you have written, contact me on Instagram at enfantasystund. Men nu säger jag tack för den här stunden, för att det funkar inte att säga så på engelska. Thank you for listening. Bye bye.